Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 22nd verse. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, and for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been on a lake or the ocean during a severe storm? If you have, you know how scary water can be. In the gospel story today, we find the disciples all alone at night in a boat in the middle of the storm. The wind is whipping around. It's dark. They're terrified. Now, I can relate. My dad loved to fish, and he loved to go to Lake Hamilton in Hot Springs. And on this particular day, we got up before dawn. I know why. It's because I didn't want to be seen with him in his fishing clothes. But we got everything ready. The outboard motor was put on the boat. The ice chest was loaded. The tackle box, the bait. Everything, including his favorite snacks, which was Oreo cookies and Vienna sausage. Whoa! And just as the sun was beginning to come up, we go away from the dock. We fished all day with mediocre luck. But you know what? It really didn't matter to him because he liked to be away from work, on the water, the peace and quiet. It was late afternoon. The sky suddenly turned dark. Hamilton's noted for that. It got really dark. And it started raining really hard. And the wind started blowing. And quite honestly, I was petrified. We started back to the dock. We were a long, long way from that dock. You see, part of the problem, the reason I was scared, was the speed in which we were traveling. My dad had a vintage outboard motor. He loved it because you could troll and get close to the bank. It was a 2.5 horsepower Johnson Seahorse. I referred to it as the Johnson Sea Turtle, to which he failed to see the humor. But I thought we were doomed. The waves were rocking the boat. It was raining so hard. And then the wake from the other boats, those that had the bazillion horsepower jet motors that would go by, and, you know, the waves, their wake would, you know, spray the whole nine yards. You know what? Didn't bother my dad a bit. He wasn't flustered. He just kept on put, put, put. He was focused. He knew where he was going, and he was content. On the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were going nowhere fast. The wind was against them. The waves were tossing the boat up and down. They'd been rowing most of the night. Some translations say that it was the fourth watch, which would have been around anywhere from 3 to 6 a.m. And they found themselves caught in a storm. And in their particular circumstances, the disciples think they see a ghost, and they're terrified. And they yell out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus calls back to them and says, "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." For most of the disciples, this was enough. They were relieved. They were content. Most of the disciples wanted to just go on and trust that it was Jesus speaking to them. But look what Peter does. Peter does this really crazy thing. Peter needed to push the envelope. But you know, all through time, Peter's the one who goes right to the edge and pushes the envelope. He says, "Hey, Jesus, why don't I climb out of the boat and walk on the waves with you in the middle of this choppy lake in the storm?" What was he thinking? But Jesus says, "Okay, Peter, you come on. Come on." And then Peter does this amazing thing. Defying all logic, he hoists his leg over the edge of the boat, steps out. The other leg follows. And he's on the water, and he's walking on top of it, defying its power. And he's looking into the eyes of Jesus as the waves swirl around him. And everything's wonderful. Peter actually walks for a few steps on the surface of the sea. But then he remembers that he's in the midst of a storm, and he starts looking around, and the reality of what's happening sets in. Verse 30 says, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink." We're quick to criticize Peter, aren't we? For jumping out of the boat, for doing this type thing. But you know, there was a farmer one time. He wanted to impress his hunting buddies. So he went out and he bought the best dog he could buy, the smartest hunting dog he could find. Paid a lot of money for him. He trained the dog to do things that no other dog on earth could do. To do amazing things. And he was so proud of it because he knew he was going to outdo his buddies. So he invited his neighbors to go duck hunting. And after a long, patient wait in the boat, ducks flew over and the hunters were able to shoot a few. And most of them fell into the water. He's smiling. "I got them now. Here we go." And he says to the dog, "Go get them." Dog hops out of the boat, walks on the water, gets the first duck, brings it back to the boat, drops it in, goes back, walks back, gets another one, drops it in, and this goes on and on and on. Now the owner, he's sitting there all swelled up and real full of pride at his dog, and he says to one of his buddies, he said, "You notice anything unusual about my dog?" Guy kind of rubbed his chin, and he said, "Yeah, come to think of it, I do. That dumb dog don't know how to swim." And that's what we do with Peter. We fail to realize that he has the courage and the conviction to follow Christ and step out of the boat. We tend to want to criticize him for his lack of faith. "Lord, save me," he screams. And when they got back into the boat, Jesus reached out his hand, took it, pulled him. They got back in the boat. And the winds died down, and the sea became calm, and those in the boat recognized again that Jesus was the Son of God. Walking on water is really hard to do. I tried. I found out the hard way. I was on a church retreat at Highland Valley, and we were on this wonderful party barge. Yeah. And boat full of folks, good food, a few pranks, and as I stood near the side of the boat, someone decided to pay me back and push me in. Fortunately, we all had life vests on. Well, I tell you what, man, I looked like the roadrunner. I was paddling on that water trying to stand up on it and walk, but I sunk all the way to the bottom. It was dark in that water, let me tell you. And I know I touched bottom. And they said that all of a sudden I shot straight up, and they said it looked like Flipper coming up to the surface. You see, it was evident to me after that experience that I needed some swimming lessons. It's evident that Peter needed some swimming lessons. And in fact, I think all of us need some swimming lessons. Lesson number one. We swimmers will face storms. It's a fact. We'll all have to face them. And I'm not talking about the physical storms of nature that have been all too common here lately. But the storms of trials and difficulty. Sitting here today, some of you may be going through a storm. Maybe it's financial problems or problems in a relationship, loss of a loved one. Maybe it's family problems, problems at your job or school. Maybe you've received your first pastoral appointment. What you thought would be a routine trip to the doctor turns out to be a diagnosis that rocks your world. After years of marriage, your spouse announces, "I just don't love you anymore and I'm leaving." The home you raised your children in and thought would be your nest egg loses all its value and you get the foreclosure notice. A friend betrays you. There's a fire. Suddenly a storm hits you with a vengeance and your life takes a dramatic and serious turn. These are storms that rage in our lives today. We all have storms. We have storms in our life where we feel like we're helpless, like a leaf being battered and blown about by the wind. Lesson number two, swimmers must step out in faith. Jesus calls to each and every one of us to step out in faith. Even when that faith seems unreasonable, and even when we can't see any possible solution on the horizon, he invites us to not be afraid and to trust in him. Peter may have been an impulsive character, maybe a little nuts. But his faith was bold whenever Jesus called to him to follow. Sometimes the safest place to be is the one place we'd never expect it to be. Walking on the water itself with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Swimmers learn that every storm ends. Sooner or later, every storm stops. We may be going through a difficult chapter in our lives right now, and the wind may be battering us, and it may have been that way for a while. Some of us may be weary and discouraged and lonely and afraid, but the storm will pass. It will not last forever. The sun will shine again. Jesus tells us, don't be afraid and don't give up. New York, 9/11, it wasn't the end. They rebuilt. New Orleans rebuilt after the storm. We look at city after city, community after community in Arkansas where the storms, the tornadoes have ravaged and they've rebuilt. The storm will end. Swimmers need to recognize God's presence in the storm. Jesus wanted to be alone to pray, so the disciples were sent ahead. To them, it was no big deal. They'd used boats forever. They fished almost all the time. But this huge storm blew in, bigger than most, and the disciples were in distress. The disciples wanted to stay alive. And it's about this time that Jesus decides to come toward them. He wasn't in the boat. He wasn't physically with them at that moment. The disciples didn't recognize him as he walked across the water. But Matthew wants us to know that sometimes it takes eyes of faith to recognize when Jesus is around. Often during our own lives, we are tormented by waves of disappointment and doubt. And you know, sometimes we are no better at recognizing his presence than they were. Basically, Jesus just wanted them to be able to trust him in the storms. The problem was they just didn't get it. God was visiting them while walking on the water, but they couldn't see it. One did. Peter recognized that God was present, even in the most unlikely place. Swimmers need to find a safe harbor. You read and you talk to sailors and you realize that what they know is that when a storm comes, the best thing to do is to find a safe harbor, a place where you can be protected and surrounded by strength. And you know what? This is it. Asbury United Methodist Church. Think about Peter's boat. Peter's boat had been a place of labor and toil and frustration. It was a vessel used to eke out a meager living. But when Jesus climbed on board, that became a place of personal closeness, of intimacy, of fellowship. It was a place where all who were on board could be close to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the church is, and that is exactly what the church ought to be. This building, it's just brick and mortar and glass, situated near 1700 Napa Valley Drive. It's just a building until something happens. The people of God enter. When it's occupied by those who know the Lord, the structure becomes a place of closeness, a place of intimacy, a place of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't too much special about this place when it's empty. Right, Anita? We've been up here when it's empty. There's not much special about it. But when the saints come marching in, it becomes a real, precious, special place. What makes this place so special is because God is here. It's special because of what we do here. The sovereign God is worshiped and praised. The Son of God is preached. Disciples are equipped to go out into the world to help others and to make a real difference. It's a special place because of what we find here. It's an oasis in the desert of the world. It's light in darkness. It's a place of refuge and revival. It's a place for weary hearts to come and be renewed and refreshed. It's a place of hope. It's a place of help. Here among these people, we can find rest and be healed and be loved. Here among God's people, we can get out of the wind for maybe just an hour, but long enough to remember that God is near. May the Lord help us to never, ever, ever, ever take the church for granted. May we always remember to share, to offer this oasis with those who are thirsty and hurting, who are seeking a safe harbor. Storms in the wild, restless seas of our lives can be dangerous and frightening. It's not a question of if the storms come, but rather when they come. None of us is immune from suffering or tragedy or heartache. But this I know. I know that the same Jesus who drew near to the disciples in that tiny fishing boat also draws near to us when the storms come. Author Robert Capone says that most of us would like to think of Jesus coming to the rescue in some heavenly tow truck offering us hot chicken soup as he tows us to safety. In reality, he writes, Jesus comes to us in the storm and he sits and suffers with us until the storm has passed. Jesus draws near to those who are hurting and he says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus put out his hand and with a touch brought Peter back to the surface. And the two of them got into the boat. Jesus put out his hand and with a touch brought Peter back to the surface. And the two of them got into the boat. May all who struggle, may all who hurt this day take heart and not be afraid. Jesus has come to share the storms with us. And with a touch, he lifts us up and we get into the boat together. Let's pray. Dear God, Jesus, in the midst of a storm, met those who loved you. You comforted them, you saved them, and you bid them come to you. Dear God, we ask that you meet us in the storm, catch us when we fall, so that we might follow you into impossible places. And through us, that you can heal and renew a hurting world, and that we may show them your love. Amen.